Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Home the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us each week as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
And my name is Jamie.
And today is May 1st as we're recording this. Summer is almost here. And as we kind of wind down spring and enter into summer, we all begin to think about family vacations.
Yes, family vacations. There's a lot of memories involved with that, with our five kids. And I found some interesting facts about family travel. They're really not funny facts. They're just kind of interesting facts that make you kind of think about things, especially now that we're older and our kids have moved on and have families of their own. And so the first one says it creates the power of memory.
Okay.
And a recent survey showed that almost 70% of parents take their children on vacation where they went when they were young.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I kind of found that to be true. At first, I thought, no, I don't, not in my case, but my parents actually did take us a few times. It wasn't a yearly thing where we went on vacation. Typically, it was like to a relative's house who did not live in the St. Louis area. They lived far away. So I remember taking a trip to Texas a couple times to two different families. And one of them was a trip to some friends that my mom and dad had, and they lived in Houston. And actually they lived really, really close to the ocean. And when we traveled down there, they didn't think about the fact that maybe we would go to the ocean, I suppose, because we didn't bring a swimsuit or anything. I mean, I was really young.
Yeah.
So I don't remember a whole lot of the details, but I do remember driving to the ocean and my mom just taking my clothes off and leaving me in my underwear. And I played in the ocean in my underwear. And there really wasn't anybody else on the beach that day. It was just kind of me and a couple of the kids from the other family. And
yeah.
That was pretty much it. But I have kind of a memory of that, doing that.
Well, the interesting thing with my family is we always had one major vacation every year. And usually that would be to wherever my father's convention was for the job that he went to. He had conventions every summer and every winter. And usually the summer ones is when we kids would get to go along with mom and dad. And so we went all over the place. I mean, I remember going to the Grand Canyon and to Colorado, Rockies.
Your family was quite adventurous.
Yes, we would go to all these different things. And the thing that was interesting was getting to take our kids. I remember taking Sam and Beth, our two youngest kids, to the Grand Canyon and different things. And so it was interesting to go back to those places later in life.
Yeah. So the second interesting fact was, they just said beach, mountains, or city adventure. And it says, according to the same survey, 25% of parents prefer beach destinations for their family trips.
Of course.
It said good weather, the possibility for the kids to play and have fun while the adults relax, and swimming among beautiful sea creatures are certainly a key for this preference. And I found that interesting too, because those are the vacations I've remembered the most, is just the vastness of the ocean. When, if you've never seen the ocean, and then I guess no matter what age that you are, and you go and you finally arrive on the beach and you stand there and you just look out, the vastness of it is so crazy.
Yes.
It goes on forever and ever and ever.
Number three says, give your children an opportunity to input into the trip.
Well, I don't know that our kids have ever inputted into a trip, but...
No, and I was getting ready to say, I know with my parents, there was no input. It was, this is where we were going, so...
This is what we're doing. This is where we're eating. It was all very pre-planned out, so yes. I'm not saying that maybe that's not a good idea in some smaller things. And that, but that was nothing that ever happened in my life.
No, not me either. So the next one is family travel is the best teacher.
I would agree.
Yes. I know as a homeschooling family, we homeschooled our children for all of them, all the way through high school. And trips and vacations were usually very fertile grounds for learning, for seeing and experiencing new things.
Yeah. They were, you know, and that's one of the great things about homeschooling is it's not confined to a classroom.
Yes.
There's so many things to learn outside the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think family trips are a great place for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I would totally agree.
And number five, the last one was traveling strengthens family bonds. And I would have to say that's especially true in a vacation that we had many years ago.
Oh, definitely.
I think strengthening occurs in adversity. And we certainly faced some adversity in the first family vacation we ever took with our five children.
Yes. I mean, we had done a lot of like mini vacations with our kids growing up through the years with them. It was a lot of camping. We would go on little weekend camping trips, things like that. But we never really traveled out of Missouri at all. And this was in 1998, in August of that year. To give a little background of what led up to it is I had been working for a company and this company was shutting down. And I signed a contract that if I stayed till the very end of the closure and help them with their finances and their books and so on, that basically I would get this very large severance package. And yes, it was one of those things, when I did get the severance package, we made the decision to purchase a newer used minivan. And we were like, you know what? We're taking our kids to the beach.
Yeah.
And we had made the decision to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We had rented a little cottage there, and we took a two-day journey to get there through the Tennessee mountains. Mm-hmm. And
well, the cottage was made available to us through our ministry attorney. He had a friend who had a cottage at Myrtle Beach, and when our friend found out that we were wanting to go to the beach, he contacted his friend to see if the cottage was open and it was going to be available. And so we kind of got a fairly decent deal on the cottage out on Myrtle Beach.
So we loaded the kids all up in the minivan. We started on our great trip. And the first day we ended up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I remember that very vividly because that was the day I smacked my head on the pool wall.
Paul usually wears glasses, and he had taken his glasses off, and he dove into the pool, and he closed his eyes, and he thought he had more pool than wall. Mm-hmm. And he happened to swim too far across the pool, and when he lifted his head up, he literally scraped all the skin off his forehead.
Yeah.
And when he came up, it was a bloody, nasty mess. And everybody in the hotel, everybody in the pool, everybody was just mortified. We didn't know what had happened. And so that's kind of how our vacation started.
Yes. And when you look back on those pictures, we have this nice picture of our family standing outside of the little cottage that we rented in Myrtle Beach. and here's all the kids, and here's Jamie, and then there's me with this giant white bandage on my forehead.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I had a scar on my forehead. It has since dissipated with time. But the kids would always say that's how they could always tell I was mad, because that scar got redder than anything on the rest of my forehead.
Yeah, well. So anyway, we rented the small cottage in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it was only 2 blocks from the beach. Mm-hmm. So basically, you could take your stuff and walk to the beach. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was
you didn't
awesome.
Have to drive. You yeah. just would walk to the beach. And it wasn't an elaborate cottage. It had a living room area. It had a little kitchenette area. It had 2 bedrooms and a small bathroom. And, of course, we had 5 kids. So Paul and I got a bedroom. A couple of the kids took the other bedroom. And then there was sleeping areas on, was like a pull-out
yes.
couch
yes.
and that type of thing. And, you know, it met our needs because we were at Myrtle Beach. We weren't going to spend a bunch of time sitting in a cottage.
No.
You know, we didn't need all that. Plus, we could buy food and stock our refrigerator and have meals there and we found ways to save money to make the trip
mm-hmm.
enjoyable.
Yeah. And I remember spending a day, I remember going go-kart riding and bumper boats and so on. And then we returned back to the cottage for our first evening there. And all of a sudden on the news, they make the comment that Hurricane Bonnie was on a trajectory to hit Myrtle Beach.
They weren't 100% sure of the trajectory at the beginning. They kept talking about North Carolina, and they kept talking about South Carolina. And in the beginning, you know, there wasn't not a lot of surety of where it was going. Mm-hmm. And I remember taking the kids. We'd only been to the cottage. We'd only been at Myrtle Beach for a couple days. We weren't
yeah,
there
we weren't
very,
there very
long.
We were very, very beginning into the
into
trip.
Our vacation. And I remember us packing up our things and heading to the beach. And we were sitting on the beach, and the sky was as blue could be. It was mm-hmm. a beautiful beach day, just beautiful. And the kids were playing, and they were building sandcastles. And, of course, I was laying in the sun soaking up the rays. And
I was hiding from the sun.
And Paul was covered in sunscreen. And this lifeguard, beach patrol person, comes by, and they stopped and introduced themselves to us. And they said, we're just letting everybody know and making sure that they're aware of the fact that there is basically like a hurricane watch in effect that they believed was going to turn into a hurricane warning. And I remember the guy looking at us and telling us, and I kept thinking, are you crazy? Like, are you sure? Because the sky is as blue as can blue. There wasn't a cloud
mm-hmm.
in the sky.
Yeah.
It was beautiful outside.
Yeah, and it's from people who grew up in the Midwest. You know, when there's severe weather and they're like, oh, there's a tornado warning or there's a tornado, you see the storm.
Yeah, the sky looks bad. It's going to get bad, you know? And I kept thinking, I don't know, these people seem kind of crazy, you know? So Paul looked at them and said, well, if this supposed hurricane decides to come our way, what are we supposed to do? Like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, because, you know, of course, like I said, you know, being from the Midwest, we had never experienced a hurricane. So we didn't know, you know, is it a situation that you're supposed to just, you know, batten down the hatches
down.
And hunker down? Is it we're supposed to evacuate? And I remember the guy looking at us and saying, well, if there's an evacuation order, you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, and go where?
Leave and go where?
You know, and he's like, we're telling everyone to go south because with the way the trajectory is, if you go south down into lower South Carolina, you'll be safe. And I remember going back to the cottage and turning on the TV. And this is in the very beginning days of the Weather Channel.
Right.
And I remember we just left that on. And I remember sitting there and watching it, and they're like, yes, we're predicting this is going to hit the Myrtle Beach area. And then the evacuation order came.
It did. And we were just, honestly, we were panicked. not only were we panicked, but we were mad. I was just angry. I felt like, you know, here we had been praying. We had been asking God to provide money, an opportunity for us to take our family on their first vacation.
Yeah.
We had never done that before, where we had gone on a long trip. And to have planned like we had planned, and for God to provide the money the way he had, and have it all end in a hurricane, I was very distraught over that. I was super upset, and I would like to say that I was just full of faith and just, oh, you know, God's got this. I wasn't. I was really upset and just thought, what is happening here? I don't understand this.
Yeah. And so as we're watching around us, as, you know, everyone in the neighborhood is putting, you know, plywood over their windows and packing up their stuff.
I think we realized this was serious.
Yes. And I remember looking at Jamie and going, you know, we just need to put all the kids in the car, get all of our clothes and everything, pack everything back up. And part of the problem we had was we had bought a lot of food because we were going to stay for a week.
Right.
And so we bought all this food. Well, there's no way we could take the frozen food with us because it, even if we just drove straight home, it was not going to last.
Right.
And so we're sitting there. We're like, you know, just get the non-perishable foods, throw them in the car. We very hurriedly threw everything in the car. And we got the kids in there and we just drove south and we're going down. And of course, all these other people are traveling south and we're driving down and everything. Well, we ended up in the area of the Hunting Island Lighthouse, which was about 2 hours away from where we were staying in Myrtle Beach. And again, we're not really seeing dark clouds. We're not really seeing anything. And we keep looking at each other the whole time going, well, are we sure we're doing the right thing?
Have we made a mistake? What was going on? We didn't know. And the more we listened to like the radio, you know, it was becoming more serious.
Yes.
And we knew, okay, I think we've made the right decision to leave Myrtle Beach and this cottage. But what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
God had provided just enough money for us to be able to rent this cottage, buy the food, have enough gas to travel there, have enough gas to come home. We had some money for, you know, something, you know, incidental type things and souvenirs and all that kind of stuff. But we didn't have billions of dollars to just adjust our vacation plans. And as the hours went by, the more upset I became. And not only me, but the kids were upset.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry and upset. And I'm sure that my lack of faith probably really affected them because they were super upset. And so as we just couldn't figure out what to do, we didn't know what to do. We were in an area. We had no idea where we were. We didn't have any knowledge about what was going on. It was a very confusing time for us. We found ourselves pulling into a police department parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember when we pulled onto the parking lot, we weren't 100%. I really didn't pay attention to where I was pulling into. It's just Jamie and I had finally made the decision, you know what? We have to go home.
And we need to repack the car.
Yeah. And so we pulled into the thing. I made all the kids get out of the car. I'm repacking the car. And of course, I'm grumbling. I'm mad. I'm barking at them. They're crying. Jamie's crying. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up to us and he's like, can I help you? And my first reaction was, no, you
can't.
Well,
I think we figured out who he was after a little while because he had a badge on. So I realized, oh, this is obviously a policeman or a detective or it's somebody because he has a badge on.
Yeah. And he looks as he's like, you know, what's going on? So Jamie starts the talk with him and she tells him the story, you know, about how this is our first vacation and we went to Myrtle Beach and now we've been run out of Myrtle Beach by the hurricane. And, you know, we don't know what we're going to do and we only have enough money to get home and, you know, just poured her heart out to the guy. And I remember the moment very vividly at this point because he goes, sir, ma'am, come with me. So we leave the younger kids outside with Heather, our oldest, who was old enough to watch them. And she's watching them out in the car. And we go inside. Well, he looks at us and says, "Can I have your driver's license, please?" And I'm starting to freak out.
Like, I'm like, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm like, did I break a law that I'm not aware of? You know, is it illegal to reload your car on the police parking lot?
It did appear that things were getting worse and worse as the trip went on.
And, you know, he runs both of our license. And he says, "Hold on a minute." He says, "I have to make a phone call." So he leaves the room.
So we're not knowing what's going on. Like, make a phone call. Why? Like, are we getting arrested for something? Like, I was really, I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest disaster. We should have never left our home. What are we doing out here?
Yeah. And a few minutes later, he walks back in and his whole demeanor has changed. And he tells us that, you know, he's very touched by what's going on and that he called his sister on the phone because she owns condos on Hilton Head Island.
On a plantation.
On a plantation. And basically he contacted her and she said that she had a condo that she was going to let us stay in, us and our kids, for the remainder of our vacation, which I think was 3 or 4 days. And she was like, you know, "You're welcome to come. It's free." They wanted to help us out. They said the only problem was it was not going to be available to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Beaufort Police Department was going to put our family up in a hotel for free for the evening.
Yes.
And I have to be honest, Jamie and I were stunned and blessed. It's beyond anything we ever could have thought was going to happen.
I cried. I if you haven't noticed any of the podcast, I cry really easily. Yeah. And I was so blown away and I was so blessed and I was astonished of what was going on around us.
Yes. And I remember going out, you know, he gave us his business card. He gave us her phone number. He told us to follow him. So we drove over to the hotel. He goes in, comes out, says, "Here's your hotel room." So that evening, we're sitting in the hotel room. We had ordered some pizza with the kids. We had the
Weather Channel playing the entire time. And the hurricane had not directly hit Myrtle Beach, but it had hit slightly north of Myrtle Beach, but there still had been an evacuation.
Yes.
And so we knew that we had made the right decision to leave. And so we watched that Weather Channel pretty much that whole evening. Mm-hmm. And turned the lights out finally, went to bed. We got up the next morning and the kids and all of us got in our van and headed to
Hilton Head
Island.
Yes. So we arrived at the condo and really we stayed there for the next couple of days. We spent time on the beach at Hilton Head. We lounged by the pool and they had even given us bicycles because everybody on the plantation didn't drive around on their cars. They drove around on bicycles.
This condo was in stark contrast to the cottage. The cottage we had rented wasn't bad. It was just very modest. It was a modest place. We didn't mind modest. It was fine. We were just blessed to have a place to be on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
When we got to Hilton Head Island, we were so blown away when the police officer's sister escorted us into the condo. We walked in and I stood there with my mouth dropped open.
Yes.
Because it was so expensive looking and it was just beyond anything that I could have even imagined.
Mm-hmm.
That when she walked out of the condo, I remember taking all my children, all five of them, set them on the couch and said, "Listen to me, don't touch anything." It was that elaborate.
Yes.
It was decorated that much.
Mm-hmm.
That I was afraid that if they touched anything and broke it,
yeah,
we would not be able to afford to fix any of it.
And I mean, it really did create a memory for our kids. And I know it sounds silly to some people, but it really proved to Jamie and I and our children that God cared so much for us. And he loved us so much that he even cared about a silly vacation.
And yeah, I mean, and even down to the detail of providing bikes.
Yes.
For all of our kids and for you and I. Yes. Bikes. We didn't have to have a bike. I didn't even ask for a bike.
Yeah.
But this woman made it clear that, oh, we were going to need bikes if we wanted to enjoy our vacation. And she didn't have to do that. But God cared enough to make sure we had bikes.
Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those things, you know, if you talk to any of our children, they'll tell you, they'll all remember this vacation. I would assume even the younger ones, they were pretty young at the time. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, it really, really proved how much God cared for us. And, you know, a lot of people will sit and go, well, you know, you could be just making that up as far as God really cared and all that kind of stuff. But really, when you look at scripture, it shows us that God cares about even the smallest things. I mean, if you look at Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it says, what is the price of 2 or 3 pet canaries? Some lose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one. He pays even greater attention to you down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You are worth more than a million canaries.
Yeah, you know, and we're nothing special. It wasn't like God liked us better or liked us more. God wanted us to have a wonderful vacation. And unfortunately, we had to kind of go through some rough spots mm-hmm. at the beginning. But it ended up being a vacation that none of us will ever forget.
Yes. And I love how that verse talks about that the God of creation, the God of the entire universe, knows how many hairs you have on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little, like me, or a lot. And he cares about your everyday life. And why is that? It's because he's a loving father. And as a father myself, I know how much a father cares for his children, and he wants them to have the best. Again, looking at the book of Luke in chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, it says, you men who are fathers, if your boy asks for bread, do you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, do you give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. And if even sinful persons like yourself give children what they need, don't you realize that your heavenly Father will do at least as much and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? And, you know, Jamie and I wanted to give our kids a memory. I mean, this was going to be our first major family vacation.
Yes.
And we wanted it to be memorable. We never could have planned for how memorable it was.
No.
Never. And circumstances beyond our control could have ruined our vacation, but God stepped in and provided way more over and above what we ever could have thought or think.
God is truly faithful.
Yes.
In everything that he does, he's faithful, even when it comes to the little things.
Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you're in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next week as we once again invite you into our living room while we discuss just how awesome God is.